From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for being with us for this Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This week we have been finishing our series of messages in Psalm 138, and today we come to the last look at David's cry from the heart, O Lord, forsake not the works of thine own hands. So do stay with us. Remember that you can, by writing or calling, obtain your free cassette or CD copy of Dr. Ed Panosian's Message on Islam, an instructive message from a renowned church historian. You can write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. Do remember our LetTheBibleSpeakRadio.com website. Remember the address there, LetTheBibleSpeakRadio.com. And there you can listen again to the broadcasts, read the daily commentaries, and visit our internet bookstore. Remember that at 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock this Lord's Day, that's Eastern Standard Time, you can join us here at Faith Free Presbyterian Church via the internet. We have a live video cast, and we trust that you'll be watching and listening. You can join us at faith.sermonaudio.com. That's 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Lord's Day. Georgia, they're spreading the gospel through professional wrestling shows, complete with all the usual bad boy gimmicks, low blows, and violent hits, the things associated with pro wrestling. In North Carolina, in a Presbyterian church, they're holding classes to study episodes of the Andy Griffith Show as a means of teaching Christian living. The wrestlers have a star who appears as a sort of a Christ-like character, and another who appears as a Judas character. After one recent event, the show had an extra climax, with people acting God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ judging the wrestlers in the ring at the end of the show, and consigning most of them to hell. Then the appeal for decisions is made. The wrestlers claim over 900 conversions and state that if Christ were here today, he would enjoy the show and say, well done. The Andy Griffith fans plumb such profound theological questions as which of Andy's lady interests they prefer. They drool over a Christmas episode, which is admittedly a lot better than most of the garbage that makes it to TV screens today. But to say, as the class leaders do, that this sheds new light on the Bible and on life seems to be an exercise in overstatement. What an age this is. We have the greatest book ever written, the very word of God to men. We have the command of God as to how we are to go about the task of evangelizing, by preaching the gospel. We have the promise of God that His Holy Spirit will bless the preaching of His word with divine power. We have the assurance, and this is something that's not promised of anything else, that it has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Yet more and more churches are turning to entertainment to replace serious exposition. Some time ago, we were treated to the resurrection of an old trick, a preacher swallowing a live goldfish as a means of getting people interested in attending church. Hollywood, at its most inane, has made serious inroads into many parts of the professing church. The real problem with all this is that it inevitably trivializes the gospel. It is fundamentally untrue both to God and men. It fails to come near to doing justice to the glories of the gospel of the grace of God in Christ. And it fails to deal with the state of men by nature, leading them to believe half-baked little theories that masquerade as gospel truth. It populates the church with a host of pseudo-Christians, people who are assured by some self-styled evangelist or teacher that they are now Christians, while in many cases they have not the slightest idea as to the real content of the gospel. And of course it leads to increasing worldliness in the church. Years ago a New Zealand preacher commented, "I looked for the church and I found it in the world, and I looked for the world and I found it in the church." How tragically true. It is not more thrilling entertainment that we need. It's not some cute new method of communication. It's the power of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You'll not get that screaming at a pro wrestling show or studying Andy Griffith. The place of prayer is the place of power for the church and for the individual Christian. Let's eschew the circus as a means of promoting Christianity and return to the only way of blessing. As Paul put it, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This is the only way to be filled with all the fullness of God. Having looked at some of the implications of David's prayer, "O forsake not the works of thine own hands," we consider one more personal implication, and then wrap up the message by showing that in essence, David prays that God will complete the work that he has begun. "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me, and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. This morning we come to the end of the studies in Psalm 138. The last verse and the last part of the verse climaxes with this great petition: "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." The first and greatest point that has to be made here in expounding his meaning is he is saying, "Lord, I am thy workmanship. Do not forsake the works of your own hands." That was David's cry. "I am the work of your hands. I am the production of your grace. When I stand before the Lord, let Christ stand with me and for me. And meantime, preserve me from every foe. Aid me in every battle." We have to say, as the psalmist said in the 38th Psalm, verse 19, "Mine enemies are lively and they're strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied." So what's his prayer? "Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me." You know, if you're in the battle, the Lord has a promise for you. I don't have time to preach this, but let me refer you to Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, and 31, verses 6 and 18. The Lord says, when you go out to battle, I'm going to be with you, and I will not forsake you. That's the promise. Now, Lord, we're in a battle. We are in a battle. Our enemies are many, they're mighty, they're well entrenched, and we are so poor and frail and weak. But the Lord says, I'm going to be with you in that battle, and you're going to win. I'm glad of that for this church, you know. People get worried about the future of the free church. Well, instead of worrying, let's pray. And let's labor. And take the words of the Lord in Isaiah 51:12 as a challenge, as well as an assurance. "I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die? I'm for you. I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will give you victory over every foe." That's the promise. "Lord, forsake not the works of thine own hands. Strengthen what you've begun in my soul, the work of sanctification. Continue it. The work of conversion, which is constantly turning to Christ." Conversion and regeneration are not the same thing. But that's a subject for another day. Regeneration is an instantaneous act. Conversion is a lifelong experience.
constant turning unto the Lord. Lord, you've begun a good work in me. Complete it. And give me thy power. All for the experience of God's power. I am the work of your hands. Bless my service. And that would lead you, and I will only have time to tell you that it's there to be thought on, prayed through. I will not take time to preach it. When we pray, forsake not the work of thine own hands, it's not just personal, but it's corporate. Lord, you've begun to do mighty works in this age of grace. Works of grace and power and gospel might and deliverance. You've done mighty things. The Lord birthed the New Testament church with blessing. He commissioned his disciples to take the gospel to the world, and he gave them power. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. He gave them wonderful success. You know, the temptation for us is to think that the best days of the church are all over. Man, wasn't it good to have the Acts of the Apostles? Wasn't it good to see the church multiplying and multiplying and multiplying? But those days are over. We sometimes look at times of revival. We think, well, it must have been good to be alive then. But the idea is it can't happen to I. Nonsense. I know that I'm in a minority here, but then you say it's only a minority of us have our eschatology right. And my eschatology is right. Believe me. If you don't believe me, you're wrong. I believe the best days of the Church of Christ are still ahead of it. Both in this age and in the millennial age, the best days of the Church of Christ are still ahead of it. That's the promise of God's word. So let's get away with this defeatist nonsense that we can expect nothing much to happen. We're always in the will of God to pray for the prosperity of the church and for a mighty outpouring of God the Holy Spirit. He has much work to do. He has a people to save. He has a kingdom to bring to its full and final glory. We can say with Moses in Deuteronomy 3:24, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. But that's all. It's not ended. Thou hast begun. What Moses saw, he wanted to go in and see the rest in the promised land. He didn't get to see it, but it came anyway. What he saw was only a beginning. Now think of what Moses saw. He saw great things, but it was only a beginning. It would have been tempting if you'd been among the children of Israel when you saw the plagues coming through Egypt, when you saw the Dead Sea or the Red Sea opening up, when you saw the fiery, cloudy pillar by day and by night, to say, my, those were great days, but you know the best days are past. Moses is saying, not at all. It's only the beginning. The best is yet to be. Why? For what God is there in heaven and earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? The best is yet to be, because there's no God like our God. That's the simple truth. Let that confidence, brethren, drive us to our knees. Do not be discouraged by temporary or external appearances. Don't be discouraged by the apparent invincibility of the enemies of the gospel, however well entrenched they are in church or state. Never forget the foundation of all our praying. The Lord is. His promise is true. His purpose is invincible. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Forsake me not. Forsake not thy church. Look upon me and look upon the whole work of God. And, O Lord, arise, arise to lead us into an experience the power and the grace and the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the Lord give us the burden to pray it, and He will give us the blessing to receive it. Let's all bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. In a moment the meeting will be over. As I said, an unusual meeting this morning, and therefore somewhat over time. Before we dismiss the meeting with prayer, we ask you to take very seriously what we've been looking at in God's Word. If you're not saved, if you can't see Christ as your righteousness, your advocate with God, it's time to seek Him. Seek Him seriously. Seek Him urgently. Seek Him now. And He says, "Seek and ye shall find. I will be found of you when you search for me with your whole heart." Will you come? Mr. Abraham and Dr. Barrett and I are here as your servants to help you to Christ, to open the Word of God with you and point you Christward. We'd be happy to open God's Word with you. Let those who are saved, let us take this personally. God, forgive me for mouthing the platitudes, "The Lord is, the Lord has promised, the Lord will do," and yet not following through in mighty believing prayer. God, forgive me. Let us cry to God to arise and give us the experience of these glorious truths. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we are the works of Thine own hands. O Lord, forsake us not, whatever our circumstances. Forsake us not in the time of old age. Forsake us not in the hour of our death. Forsake us not when we stand before the judgment bar of God. Lord, forsake not the works of Thine own hands. O Lord, arise and grant us personally the experience of the power and the blessing and the fullness of Thy gracious Holy Spirit. Do it, O Lord, even now. Bring us personally and corporately into the joy of a spiritual awakening. Part us now with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear. Be the portion of all Thy people, both now and evermore. We pray these things, giving Thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com.
Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.